Okay, Rabosai, we are going to cover some ground over here. Did you all finish at least Bays in the Marah Makomos, I hope? No? All right, well, let's go. Okay, so I wanted to, you know, again, you guys spend a lot of time, which is fine. I want to just make one ha'ara on the Rashi and Bays and Bays. So Rashi, Dibra Hamaskil, Ein Meshaman Alpi Atzman, I believe it is. Rashi comments over here, Ein Meshaman Alpi Atzman. Okay, that's on Rabbi Akiva's din, is that Eidim Zomim is a Knas. And if it's Rabbi Akiva says, Hazama Kasham is a Knas, and therefore, we have a drule that says, a rule, Modib Knas Potter. If you admit, if you confess to a Knas, you're exempt. So Rashi writes over here, Ein Meshaman Alpi Atzman. If they confess, if the Eidim Zomim come in and confess, they don't have to pay. Im huzmu bebezdin, if they're found to be Eidim Zomim, and I look at this language, v'lo hispik baldin lahamidam badin al hazamasan, and the baldin, who's the baldin, Rabosai?
Nidam.
The nidam did not yet mamid bedin, did not bring them into court al hazamasam ad shebarchu, until they ran away. Ubo bebezdin acher, and they went into another bezdin vahodu, and there they admitted shehuzma bebezdin plona, that they were found in zom elsewhere. Then ein meshaman al pi atzma. So I just wanted to make a point in this Rashi, and I think it's a very significant point, and then we're gonna just elaborate a little bit, but then move on. Is that it sounds from this Rashi that when it comes to the din of Eidim Zomim, the Nidon has to bring the case. And if I were to ask you, in general, we know that the Eidim Zomim are made into defendants. They're put on the stand. They have, now they become Chayev. So who is the plaintiff, so to speak, in the case against Eidim Zomim? Who is the plaintiff? Who is on the other side of the equation? So I think it seems to me crystal clear when it comes to Misa, in a Misa case, or in a Malkus case. So who is the plaintiff, so to speak? Well, what's your answer? Who's the plaintiff in the Misa or Malkus case?
Bezdin,
correct, Bezdin. In other words, and you find, in other words, in a Misa or Malkus case, it's a criminal case. Bezdin, it's like the state versus these Eidim Zomim. And Bezdin is the plaintiff. However, when it comes to a case of Dine Mominus, what emerges, at least what Rashi's saying, is that the Baldin, the Nidon, has to bring the case. And if the Nidon doesn't run after the Eidim Zomim, if he doesn't go ahead and Tovea them in Din, so then there is no case. They have to bring the case. And in fact, I think this is borne out probably by that Gemara you saw on Daf Hey. The Gemara has a very interesting chiddush, which we have to get to. It's a very fascinating idea. But when it comes to, let's say, you have three Edim in a Dine Nefashos case, in a Malkus case. So the Gemara there says, Ein Meshalshalin B'Malkus. In other words, every single Eid Zom is going to get the full sledge of 39 Malkus. You don't go ahead and divide 39, divide by 3, and each one gets 13. That's not how it works. Every Eid Zom is going to get a full slate of Malkus. When it comes to Mammon, however, Meshalshalin B'Mammon, which means that if the Nidon is high of 200, if the Eid Zom were Machai, the Nidon $200, and you have two Eidim, each Eid pays $100. And the Gemara is bothered. Why is it when it comes to Malkus, Mishalshalim B'Malkus, Ein Mishalshalim B'Malkus, we do not divide the Malkus amongst the Eidim Zom, and when it comes to Mammon, we do. And the Gemara has a cryptic line over here. Machok Zabai and Rava, Abaye says, well, somehow Malkus is equated to Misa, and just like Misa cannot be divided amongst the Eidim, so every single Eid is going to get a full Misa, so too Malkus. And Mammon is inherently divisible. Ein Misa Lamechza, Ein Malkus Lamechza, but Mammon is divisible. And Rava has a different shot. Rava says, Ba'inan Kasha Zom Lasos La'achiv Vileka, Ihachi Mammon Nami, Mammon Mitztaref, Malkus lo mitztaref. So Mammon is mitztaref, Malkus is not mitztaref. What exactly does that mean? So many of you are bothered. What does that mean? Mammon is mitztaref. Mammon, you can go ahead and 100 plus 100 equals 200. But 13 plus 13 plus 13 does not equal 39. So again, I suggested to some of you in Seder that the Beis HaLevi has an interesting idea. And the Beis HaLevi says when it comes to Malkus, the nature of corporal punishment is when you get, it accumulates. Your first 13, your next 13, your next 13, each one is building. The 39th Malka is more painful than the first Hakah, because it's building on the prior halkos. As Zevi Cohen put it, your nerve receptors have become sensitized, and therefore your 39th hit is going to be more painful than your first hit. And therefore, if I divide the malchus, I wanted to give 39 to one nidon, and I'm going to divide it amongst three edim, so that's not going to achieve. It's 13 plus 13 plus 13 on the pain quotient, on the pain quantum, does not equal. 13 plus 13 plus 13 equals a lot less than 39, and therefore Malkus is not mitzvah. When it comes to Mammon, however, Mammon is fungible. Money is fungible. Whether it's the first dollar or the hundredth dollar, a dollar is a dollar, and therefore Mammon is mitzvah. That's an idea that's suggested by the Beis HaLevi. But I believe Rashi, one second, Avi, I believe Rashi is saying something a little different. If you look at Rashi over there, on Daf Hem and Aleph, Rashi writes, Mammon mitztarev. What does it mean, Mammon mitztarev? V'hare kibel ma sherotzu lahafsido ben kula. What does it mean, Mammon is mitztarev? V'hare kibel. Who is Makabel?
Nidon.
The Nidon. In other words, all the money got to the hands of the Nidon. And in the hands of the Nidon, it's mitztaret. So true, the money was coming from two edim or from three edim, but it all ended up in one place. It all ended up in the hands of the nidon. And since it ends up in the hands of the nidon was supposed to lose 200. And now he is up 200. It's mitztaret in his hands. I think this Rashi is lishitase with our Rashi. Somehow the nidon, when it comes to a din mamon, becomes a player. He is not, he's a baldover. And as a baldover, now he is made whole. In other words, I asked to look at the Sefer Yireim, and the Yireim is bothered by this whole concept. He says, how do I know? Where do you see, what's the source that the money goes to the Nidon? Where do you see the money goes to the Nidon? After all, it's a knas. Edim Zomim is a knas. And once it's a knas, then it's go to Besdin. If it's a fine, a penalty, when you go ahead and are caught speeding, Rachman Litzlan, and you have to pay $100 ticket, a $500 ticket, so where does it go? Where does the money go?
To the state.
It goes to the state. So a knas should go to the state. Who's the state, if you will? Besdin. And then Bezin can do with it whatever it wants. That's exactly what the Reim says. When it comes to the Chiv, for example, if a Tsar, non-Kohen, eats Truma, so the Tsar has to pay Keren V'Chomesh. He has to pay Keren V'Chomesh. Who's he paying the Keren? The Keren he certainly pays to the Kohen that he took from. But the Chomesh, the excess, is a Knas, and says the Reim, I think that should go to whoever Bezin wants to give it to. He just, it's a penalty. The key is that he has to, the czar has to lose the money, but not that the Kohen has to gain the money. Says the Yireim, same thing over here. The idea is the Eim Zom have to lose the money, not that the Nidon has to get the money. I don't know, says the Yireim. Sugya nirla olam misha idulav. It seems like the money goes to Nidon. Venira kilo yadati minayin. But how do I know? Where's that? What's the source for that? What's that all about? And the truth is, I don't know the answer to the Yireim's question. But what I do know, and here I'm just going to be a little bit of a, what does a scientist do in a laboratory? What does the scientist do in the lab?
Tests hypotheses.
What does he do? Okay, he has a hypothesis, now goes to the lab, and what does he do in the lab?
Experiments.
Yeah, I get that. But once he did the experiment, then he just observes the phenomena. He observes the phenomena, he sees the phenomena, he records the phenomena. I can't explain to you, the scientist is not going to explain to you why, when you take sodium and you take some chlorine and you put it together, it makes salt. He's not going to tell you why that happens. But he will go ahead and show you in the laboratory that when you do it, you take sodium, you take chlorine, it makes salt. So I don't know why this is. I can't explain to the why. But I can tell you that the way the din of Kasher Zamam works when it comes to the mumminus, is that the nidon was converted. I would even call it nizikin-like. We see the nidon as a nizak. He has been damaged. Has he been damaged? Not really. Not really. I mean, Aaron Tuchman wants to tell me he's been embarrassed in court, and there's a busha because they brought him to court, and he's now embarrassed because he was accused wrongfully. Okay, very nice. I don't know. He hasn't been damaged per se. He's not out a dollar because at the end of the day, he hasn't paid anything out of pocket. However, the way, and when I put the din of Kasher Zamam, at least it's understood by Rashi, into the laboratory, what I am observing is that the nidon has become a baldover. It's not the state versus the Edom Zomim. It's the nidon who has a claim now. In other words, it's been converted into a mumminous claim that he has to exercise. And it's mitztaref, as the Gemara says on Daf Hey, into the hands of the nidon. And indeed, if the nidon does not press his claim, it's not going to be pressed. In other words, there's a din mamon that now he has a zchusin. It's the Torah gave the nidon the zchus that he has to exercise, and that's why it's mitztaref in the hands of the nidon. And that is how it seems to me Rashi understands. The Yireim doesn't know the source for it. I don't either, but that seems to be how the halacha now defines Kasher Zamam in the hands of, when it comes to Dinei Mamonos. Okay, that's just, again, a ha'ara on the first part, on Aleph. Any questions, Avi? Yeah?
Just on Rava. Right, so we say that Momo and Mitzdari are Bahamas on the side. So Bahamas on the side, yeah, it makes sense because at the same time, there's more pain in 39 Bahamas than 13 for sure. However, Kasher Zamam, they each eight individually wanted that man to receive 39 Bahamas, so they individually received 39 Bahamas. However, for some reason, that's not the case by Momo. They each wanted this eight, this to lose $400. Right, it's all through my Momo. They're each time individually losing $1
they can
split up with one.
Right. So
transference versus identity transference.
No, stop with that. we're coming up, but that's what I'm saying, Avi. In other words, what I'm saying is that you're right. It should be that way. But now that the halacha has turned the nidon into a nizak, the goal and the agenda of Kasher Zamam is to make the nidon whole. How do you make him whole? They collectively wanted him to lose $400. Once he receives $400 from the collective Aiden, he's been made whole.
So I probably have a problem with it, but I have to think about it.
Okay, very good. Yosef Avram.
Also, in the same story, we're seeing that Malchus accumulates because each Makkah is more painful than the previous. So can I... And we're seeing Mashi Inkin by Mammon. Why can't you argue that every dollar that you're paying is more painful than the previous dollar? If I have to pay somebody $35, it's much more painful than paying him $25.
I know, but every dollar, the first dollar and the $26, every dollar is the same. Whereas the 26th Malka feels different than the 12th Malka. But every dollar is a dollar. And that's the difference.
Can you not argue that every dollar accumulates on the previous dollar and it's more of a painful experience?
I don't think so. In other words, I think if you have a real economic, economic mindset, then a dollar is a dollar. So the $26 is no different than the 28th or the 23rd or 22nd. Whereas Malchus, the physical pain that builds up is going to be different. Tuchman, yeah, I'm looking right at you.
Okay,
guy, do you right now on your screens? Just curious how this all works. Is Aaron Tuchman on the second row in the middle? No. Okay. So by me, that's where he is. Do you, on your free time, do not do this, but there used to be a TV show, Rahman al-Islam, called Hollywood Squares, where it was like a tic-tac-toe game and a Hollywood Squares game. And anyway, so they used to put the funniest guy in the middle. He had the middle one. I feel like, so right now Aaron is kind of in the middle there, and I feel like I'm watching a game of Hollywood Squares. Yes, Aaron, go ahead.
A lot of pressure now. So I agree with Yosef Avram. I said it to Rebbe during Chavrusha time.
Yeah.
If someone told me I owed someone $50, I'd feel a lot better paying $50 than if someone told me I owed them $200.
You're missing the point. Of course $200 is worse than $50. No one's denying that. But I'm saying the $200 is no different than the 199th and the 198th and the 140th or the first. That dollar, that $1 is the same. Whereas that $1 is the same. Of course, 200 is worse than 50.
We had $199, and that $200 is a bigger loss than the other one.
It's not. A dollar is a dollar. The same dollar, it's worth the same 60, the 100 cents.
Can't you argue that with Malkus also, like, the first Malka is the same thing as the 38th?
Right. The Malka is the same. The Malka is the same. But because I'm hitting you now on a soft spot, on a wounded place, it's more painful. That one Malka, number 39.
I have a medical opinion. I have a medical opinion. I asked my father, who's a pain management doctor.
Oh. There is a fantastic. I'm gonna try and find it for you. There is a fantastic TED talk by a guy who was like a real chacham, an Israeli guy, but a real who experienced some kind of real pain on was burnt on 80% of his body or something, and was bandaged up for months and months and months, and there was a real machlekes, whether what's more painful, what's worse, ripping the band-aid, one shot, or slowly, removing the band-aid. It's all the same. You're just getting the bandages off, so is a little pain over longer time worse on a pain level, or is it a short, intense piece of pain, which one is worse? So again, he had a whole shtickle Torah. It's a beautiful shtickle Torah. I'll share that with you. It's not really Nogaya, but I'm reminded of it. And but the bottom line is that I got a raya from MrPainDoc.com, and the word is, again, think about it. I gotta go weiter quickly. Sap.
I'm a cheap guy, but it hurts every dollar. Every penny hurts.
Ready. Whenever I look at the screen on Zoom, like with multiple people on, I always think of the Brady Bunch.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with Smiley on this one. I did also.
Okay.
Can I try?
Yeah, what do you want to say, Isaac?
If somebody has like a pain in their back, right, and then if they then get a maca now, it's way worse than if they get a maca when they have no pain, even though they're only getting one maca both times. But for money, if you just lost $50 and then you pay $50 or if you lost $50 and then in 5 days when you get it back, you're going to pay $1, it's the same value.
That's correct. That's what I'm trying to say. Okay, Vayter and Shas. Dream about it. Think about it. But I want to just make that Ha'ar and Rashi. Okay, open up your Gemaras. I want to just do the next piece of Gemara. And I sent you a little chart, which you don't have to look at right now, but it's a smooth little chart just going through the Shaka Vitaria of the Gemara. But we're going to start just to finish up Einim Karm Be'Eved Ivri. So I'm about 10 lines from the bottom of the page, Daf Beis, I'm at Beis. Rabbi Ose, how many of you have seen the Gemara? I just want to make sure I know how I should operate. Okay, good, 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 good. Okay, most of you have seen the Gemara. Let's take a look. So the Gemara says we have a fourth din in the Mishnah. A fourth din of we don't apply din of kasha zomam. It's not in the Mishnah. Ve'enim karm be'eved ivri. That the Eidim Zom do not get sold as Eved Ivri. So, Savar Rav Hamnun Olameimar, Hani Mili, Hecha de Isle Ledide. That is assuming that Isle Ledide. What does Isle Ledide mean? The Nidon has money. Demigo, the Ilon is Davein. Since the Nidon is not going to be sold because he has money, Inunami Lom is Davne. So the Edom Zomim are also not going to be sold. Aval hecha de les le lididei. But if the Nidon has no money, af al gav de isluhu liditu, mizdavne, even if the Edom Zomimim do have money, they're going to get sold. They will get sold. Stop right there. Could someone give me a hesber of Rav Hamnuna? What is the svara of Rav Hamnuna at this stage of the Gemara libel? Go.
There's more focus on kashas on getting what you did. So even if, since the Nidon wasn't going to get sold because he had the money, now that they don't have money, but he wasn't going to get sold. So it's not kashas on like that. But if the Nidon didn't have money and he was going to get sold, and the Edom had the money, but kashas on
okay, so using our kind of formulation, how would you formulate this in light of language we've used in the past?
Onus transference.
Onus transference. That's, I think, the simple understanding of Rav Hamnuna. What is Rav Hamnuna saying? If the Nidon has money, if he has money, so what was my intention vis-a-vis the Nidon? What did I want to accomplish over there? I wanted to have him lose money. So the Gemara Din, the onesh of losing money, goes to me. And even if I don't have money, but all I wanted to do was have him lose money. So I lose money. I'm not going to get sold as an Eved Ivri. That's case number one. If the Nidon didn't have money, so what essentially is the onesh that I'm trying to impose on the Nidon? The onesh I'm trying to impose on the Nidon is Mechira, is that he should be sold. Memela, even if I do have money, but I wanted him to be sold, I should get sold. That is classic onesh transference, aliba de Rav Hamnuna. That seems to be Rav Hamnuna's argument. Comes along Rava. And now Amar Le Rava, Rava says, wait a second, Velimra Le, but why can't the Edom Zom come and say, I ant Havlach, mi hava mizdavent? If you had money, would you have been sold? You wouldn't have been sold. So ananami lo mizdavninan. So we too should not be sold. So what essentially is Rava's argument?
It's status transference.
Correct. He's saying transfer the status. In other words, embedded, inherent, inchoate in a chiyuv that you're a ganav is pay, get sold. That's the Gemara Din. The Gemara Din is pay, get sold. And therefore, that's exactly the status that's going to be transferred to me. And therefore, good, he didn't have money. I do have money. And therefore, I will also be able to exempt myself from that chiyuv by paying. That's Rava's argument. And indeed, Rav Hamnuna buys the argument. Rav Hamnuna takes it back. And he says, Ela sava Rav Hamnuna lemeimar. Rav Hamnuna comes back and says, Hani mili, you're right. When is it that einim karin? Einim karin is hecha de islay olididei olididu. Whether the Nidon has money, or whether the Edom Zomim have money, either way, einim karin. Aval hecha de lesle lo lidide ve lo liditu mizdavne. When neither have money, then they get sold. Now, this is a little tricky over here. So this din of Rav Hamnuna, now the retraction is a little tricky. So what is Rav Hamnuna saying? If neither of them have money, so I testify that what? I testify that he's a ganav, and I know he has no money. So what am I essentially testifying? That he should be sold. If I had money, then I would just pay off. If I don't have money, then I also get sold. Let's say, here's the tricky part. Let's say the Nidon had money. He has money. And the Eid Zomim has no money. The Eid Zomim have no money. What is Rav Hamnuna going to say in such a case? What's that?
They don't get sold.
Now, if it's pure identity transference, what should be the din?
They do get sold.
L'chora, they should get sold. So this needs to be finessed a little bit. This needs to be touched up a little bit. And then let's just see the end of the Gemara, and then we'll try and touch it up. So Amalei Rava, no, Rava says, I got a Gzeres HaKosef. And what's my Gzeres HaKosev? V'nimkar b'gnevasa, Amar Achmana, b'gnevasa v'lo b'zmamo. Even in a case, I disagree with you, Rav Hamnuna, even in a case where no one has any money, the Nidon has no money, and the Eidim Zom have no money, the only time you get sold is v'nimkar b'gnevasa. And the Eidim Zomim, special Gzeres HaKosev, they are not ganavim. They might have a quasi-din of a transfer, but this Gzeres HaKosev overrides that halacha. So Rabosa, I wanted to share with you what I thought was a very sharp and I think is correct shot of the Kovetz Shiurim. Who was the Kovetz Shiurim?
Rav Elchanan Wasserman.
That's correct. Rav Elchanan Wasserman. When did Rav Elchanan Wasserman live? A little later than that, actually. Yes, he lived in the late 1800s. He also lived in the early 1900s. He also lived in the middle of the 1900s. And he was murdered, Yimach Shemam, by the people that were working for the Nazis. And he and his entire yeshiva were executed, rifled down in cold blood, and died al Kiddush Hashem. So the notes that we have in the Kovetz Shiurim are just basically his marginal comments that he wrote up on each Gemara that were subsequently published as the Kovetz Shiurim. So he says something very, very fascinating, and I think it's the pshat, it's the correct pshat. And I'm going to say it outside, and then I'd like to read it inside together. He's comparing our sugya to the sugya of Kofir. And in the sugya of Kofir, you might recall, we saw the Ritva, we saw the Ramban. Fundamentally in the sugya of Kofir, what is my animal goes ahead and kills someone? My shor muad goes ahead and kills someone. Fundamentally, what's my chiyuv? What's the chiyuv on me? It's right. Fundamentally, my primary chiyuv is a misa bidei shamayim chiyuv. Secondarily, I can exempt myself from the misa bidei shamayim chiyuv by paying a kofir. But the fundamental chiyuv is a misa bidei shamayim chiyuv. And that's why the Ritva and the Ramban pointed out Hashem doesn't need these eidim. There's no din of kasher zomam when it comes to kofir because fundamentally the eidus is l'shamayim and Hashem doesn't need the eidus. And the chiv kofir, eimem mashkenin, is not a chiv that Bez is really going to enforce. This is not really eidus. And the money is a secondary chiv. So now he suggests that when it comes to eidus, in this case of gneva, so Rabosai, what is the fundamental eidus? What is the core eidus? What's the primary eidus? And what is a residual secondary backdoor aspect of the eidus? Yeah, libel?
Yeah.
The edus is he's a ganav and he owes money. That's the edus. If he can't pay, then there will be a secondary gmar din, and that secondary gmar din will be, oh, you can't pay? Now you are chayav to be sold. But the core primary edus is you owe money. And then there's a backdoor, a backup. You can't pay. Now there's a secondary gemar din of being sold. So now, how does this get transferred? How does this get transferred over to the Edom zone? How will this gemar din be transferred to the Edom zone? So let's just talk it out. Aaron, go ahead, talk it out with me. Go ahead, Aaron. Yeah, no, you're right.
Of the Ada, because you might say, like, Rav Hamnuna is kind of getting confused over here, like, you know, oh, they meant to make this person into a slave if he wasn't able to pay, so therefore we should make them into slaves. So what I think Kovacher,
yes, Rav Hanan, yeah.
What he's saying is that no, because the real identity transference behind this case is not one of slavery. Slavery is secondary, as you speak over. In reality, it's really one of them.
Aaron, you should go into a career in learning. You're a natural. Don't get burnt out. I will reach through this computer and pull out every beard in your face if you don't realize the kaychas that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave you. And that goes like this, right? 100% correct. 100% correct. Is the word is the core and fundamental edus is mama. And therefore, in the case where we'll read inside in a second, but in the case where the nidon doesn't have money. And the Edim Zomim do have money. So you should argue if it's identity, they wanted to mechayev him to be sold. So why don't they get sold? And the answer is because the core of their Edus, the prime Edus, is Mama. That's the prime Edus. And therefore, they have money. If they have money, they can pay off. They can pay off because that is the core of their edus. If the nidon has money and the edim zomim don't have money, so once again, the same idea is the core of their edus was to pay money. The nidon has money. So the edim zomim are not going to have to be sold because their edus was not to be sold. Their edus was that this guy should have to pay money. The only case in which they will get sold, says Rav Hamnuna, who doesn't have his Gzeres HaKosev, is if neither have money. Because if neither has money, then, okay, I got to stage two on the Nidon, and I'm going to get to stage two on the Ein Zomim. And in such a case, I'm going to have to get sold. That's the core idea. Let's just see it inside, and then I'll take your questions. I want to show you inside. So look at the Kovacher, source number 2, 5 lines in. Let's go with where the closed bracket ends. Ukein ze matzinu lekamon gabi hodes sabrav hamnuna v'amrle rava v'limrle ilu haves zuzul didach v'lich ora kushes rava enemu venis. I don't understand the question of Rava. Kevan de Bishah Shei Idu Alav, when they testified against his Nidon, Lo Havale Le Nidon Zuze, the Nidon had no money. So therefore, if they had no money, they were selling, they were causing the Nidon to be sold. In Kenare Zamala Mochro Be'ebe. Umay Mahani Mai De Isle Zuze. What does it help if the Eid Zomim themselves have money. They wanted the nidon to be sold. They should get sold. Vitzarech lomar. So you have to say, the kevnik sivasiz mokash zamam, yeshnon, ooh, this sounds like identity transference. Yeshnon ala edim kol dine hanidon. Every din of the nidon is onto the eidim. V'chem the dino shal nidon hu de'i is le'zuze. If they had money, ain o nimkar. In other words, the identity of the nidon is that if they had money, they wouldn't be sold. So af achshav les le'zuze. Even though they don't have money, they don't have money, the nidon. Mi kamakam dinon shal eidim nami hachi. De'heka dis le'zuze en nimkar. Ve'ein lahakshos. Now watch this. So then you should ask, if that's true, in other words, Rabosai, he's saying, so far, identity transference, which means if the Nidon has no money and the Eidim Zom do have money, will the Eidim Zom be sold? No, why not? Because
if he had money, the Nidon would have money, he wouldn't have been sold.
Right, so they wouldn't be sold either. Oh, so then he says, the Ein La'akshos, the Imkain, Heikha de Leslu Zuze La'edim. So let's say the Eidim didn't have money. If the Eidim didn't have money and the Nidon did have money. So now what should you do to the Eidim Zomim? You should sell them. If the Nidon has money, but you're applying that identity, so now they have this. So he says, Im ken heka the last little Zuze la Eidim liyim kru la abadim. I feel like heka the hava la Nidon Zuze mei kara. If the Nidon has money, the Eidim don't, why don't you sell them? If you're throwing onto the Imzom all the identity of the Nidon, the Ilolo Havale Zize Haya Nimkar, so you should say that the Eidim should be sold. That's his Kasha. Uvasugim Avor Lehedya Ibcha. But our Gemara seems to say the other way around. So what's the Pshat? So he says like this. This is what Aaron Goldstein was saying, and I think it's absolutely correct. V'yei Shlomar. The ein edim zomim nas ein edim nasim zomim ad shegomar hadin al piyem. You need the gemar din. The evshel achayvim limachir. You can't have the edim zomim be sold. Kevin shol nigmar din hanidon limachir because the nidon never had a gemar din to be sold. Aval heicha she nigmar din limachir shaper mishalmin ha edim mamon. And this is what Avi Antelis wants to underline this line. And it's a great line. What's the pshat? The tashlumin yeshnan bichlal mechira, ve'ein mechira bichlal tashlumin. That's a key line. Within the chiyuv mechira, is mechira tier one or tier two? Is mechira stage one or stage two? Stage two. It's stage two. So within a mechira is already a gemar din of mama. So therefore, if the nidon had no money, that's because he got to stage two. But you had to get to stage two, you had to go through stage one. So if the enzoman could satisfy the kasha zom at stage one by paying money, because that's the ikra hachiv is the money, so then they can satisfy their obligation. And now he ties it into kofar. The hachanami yeshon be kofar. And that's exactly the two stages that you have by kofar. The kevan de chiv kofar who told us so shall chiv misa. Since the chiv kofar is a tolda, is a stage two of the chiv misa, which bidei shamayim, va'edim enum chayim misa bidei shamayim, the edim have no chiv bidei shamayim. They don't, Hashem doesn't need them. So therefore the Eidim are not going to be chayv in the tolda, in the kofar, when you don't need them on the ikar. So too over here, that what's the ikar edus? The ikar edus is on the money. If there is no money, then they get sold. But the ikar edus is on the money. So when the nidon has no money, there's a gemar din of mechira. But that gemar din of mechira is stage two. So therefore, if at stage one the Eidim Zomim do have money, they're not going to get sold. The only case Rav Hamnuna says they get sold is if neither have money, And Rava says, I have a gzeres hakosuv, that even in that case, they don't get salt. Let me just finish. I'll take your question out in a second. I just want to finish with one more point. And I didn't finish. I didn't get to Gimel, but I'll have to do Gimel tomorrow. Hi, one more point. Rabosai, I have a question. My question is as follows. What, at the end of the day, okay, Rava tells us there's a gzeres hakosuv, you never, ever, ever sell the Edom Zom. You don't sell. Even if the Nidon has no money, you don't sell the Edom Zom. So what happens to the... They don't get sold. What happens to the Edom Zom? What does happen to the Edom Zom? At the end of the sugya, after Rava comes up with his gzeres hakosuv, what does happen to the Edom Zom?
How are they punished?
Malchus?
Who said Kobe, Malchus. So which Rishon says Malchus?
The Rambam.
The Rambam says Malchus, Malchus, Malchus. And in the four cases where we do not apply Kasha Zaman, Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, Golus, Kofer, and Eved Ivri, Enim Kamba Eved Ivri, no Malchus. No Kasha Zaman, yes Malchus. That's the Rambam Shita, Laora Koladera. That's always what the Rambam says. And that leaves us with a little bit of a question that we left over the last time. We still don't have an answer to it, and that is, why are there only two cases in the Mishnah? Why are the cases of Kofar and Eved Ivri out of the Mishnah? So I asked you to look at the Mukha Yosef. It's a one-liner in the Mukha Yosef. Mukha Yosef cites a Yesh Mefarshim that says, you know what happens to these Edom Zomim? They don't get salt. What does happen to them? No Malchus. They pay. If they have money, they pay. If they don't have money, I believe when they get money, they pay. In light of the first part of Shir, who do they pay, gentlemen?
The Nidon.
Correct. Why, according to Mukha Yosef, is Eved Ivri not in the Mishnah? Because the Mishnah, because it's being fulfilled, fundamentally, or because there's no Malchus, either way, why, in light of the Kovetz Shiurim, is the correct answer that they pay? Now, why does Mukha Yosef say they pay? Because fundamentally, what is their Edus?
There's two stages.
Correct, and what's the Kuliamalo. Exactly.
Mamon.
The first stage is Mamon. Gzeres HaKosev says you don't get to the second stage. You only get sold if you're a Ganav, not if you're an Eid Zomim Angeneva. And Mamela, you're stuck at stage one. Stage one is you pay. And that's exactly what the Nimuke Yosef says.
How would the Rambam do with the Kovashur if he was able to
respond? I don't know the answer to that. That's something I still don't know the answer to. But what emerges, therefore, and we just finished Hadron Alach, the first sugi in Maseches Makos, the first blot. We should make a seam on the first blot, Bezim and Al, Bezim and Bez. But what emerges is, we learned the Mishnah. There are two cases in the Mishnah. The Brisa has another two cases. Why are those two cases not also in the Mishnah? According to these Rishonim that we've been focusing on, it's because the two cases in the Mishnah are Malchus cases. These cases are not Malchus. They're not Malchus, either because Kofar is a Eidus L'Shamayim, and the case of Eved Ivri, you are Chayav to pay. You are Chayav to pay, but that's what distinguishes, at least according to these Rishonim, these cases in the Mishnah from the other four the other two cases that are in the Braisa. Okay, Mirtz Hashem, we're going to stop here. Tomorrow, we're going to do this Rabbi Akiva piece, which is really important. I'm going to learn some Bekiyas. I want to get out of, for those of you who are, I don't want to spend too much time on Ketzat Shomin. That's going to give everyone a little bit of a headache, perhaps. But we're going to...
It's juicy, though. It's juicy stuff.
It is juicy. So, Mirza Shem, we'll move forward. And, again, I really want to make a siyum on the first parak for sure in Ian. So we got to keep it moving. Go ahead. Ask your questions. And anyone wants to move on, you're free to go.